First, according to the EPA, Americans recycle about 66 million tons of material every year. About a third of that is exported to other countries. In many cases, that's China. But China has gotten stricter about what they'll accept, and recycling has gotten more costly, leaving some states to try different options. Livia Albeck-Ripka is a freelance journalist covering the environment. She's reported on how we as a nation recycle and where our recycling goes for the New York Times. Livia, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Well, you've written about problems at both ends of the recycling equation, what we put in and where it goes. And let's start with that first step. You've written, and some people in the recycling trades worry about something they call aspirational or wishful recycling. What is that? What are we getting wrong sometimes?
Yeah, so I think that when the public is putting something into the recycling bin, we all want to do our best. We all hope that what we put in the bin ends up getting turned into something new at the other end. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. And so waste managers actually have a name for this. They call it wishful or aspirational recycling, which is when we're not really sure whether or not something can be recycled or what the particular rules are in our neighborhood, and we just put it in anyway in the kind of hopes that it will eventually be recycled. So some really typical examples of this are pizza boxes. In some areas, pizza boxes are recyclable, so just want to stress that it's really important, whoever's listening, to that you do need to check in your area what can and can't be recycled. But pizza boxes, if they're very, very greasy, waste managers say, you know, these will just actually contaminate the good recycling materials, and will end up meaning that more stuff goes to the trash. So with a pizza box, you could, you know, tear off the good half, recycle that, throw away the greasy half. If there are just a few crumbs in there, it's not too much of a big deal. And then another really common example of this are disposable coffee cups. And, you know, before I started doing this reporting, I wasn't aware of this either, that many coffee cups are lined with a fine film of polyethylene, which makes them very difficult and expensive to reprocess, because you've got two materials there. You've got the paper and it's plastic. And so unless you have a special facility in your area, in your state, that can handle those cups, separate them out and send them to the right place, unfortunately, again, they are kind of contaminating the stream.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I'll admit, I've been in this situation too, thinking, I'll err on the side of throwing it in, no harm done, yeah. They'll just throw it away anyway. You've talked to some recycling people. I would be wrong to think that way, right?
Yeah, that's right, unfortunately. You know, they stress, if in doubt, throw it out. And it's a hard mental switch to make. And again, as I've been doing this reporting and thinking about recycling in my own life, it is a challenging switch, but recycling and waste managers are talking about this as a real wake-up call. It's a moment for the public to recognize that for a long time we have been sort of, at least we've been kind of putting off the problems of recycling, or we've been kind of imagining that that recycling is going better than it has been, and we've been sending a lot of materials to China in particular, but other countries, and they're saying this is an opportunity for individuals to really think about the role that they are playing when we put something into the recycling bin. And you know, one of the most profound things that somebody said to me during the reporting was, recycling is the third R. You have to reduce and reuse first. So I think that that's a good thing to think about when you're feeling guilty about, should this really be going in the bin or not? But there are other ways that we can as individuals kind of help with this process.
Now, before we move on to this, from this part of this story, again, it varies from community to community, state to state, what people can and can't recycle. But what were some of the other, in addition to those greasy pizza boxes, those single-use coffee cups, what were some of the other common gripes from people in recycling that shows up that they just don't want?
So a big one is obviously scraps of food or liquid in the takeaway containers, or I guess jars that you might buy from the supermarket with, you know, pasta sauce or whatever it is in it. You know, those don't have to be sparkling clean. And if you were to kind of scrub them, you in turn might be wasting water, but you do need to get out most of the food. So, you know, steer clear of food scraps and liquid scraps. Another one are plastic bags. Again, you may have a facility in your area that specifically deals with and recycles plastic bags, but don't put them in with the rest of the recycling because they really tend to clog up the machinery. They can slow things down. Another one, a surprising one, are dirty diapers. These are definitely not recyclable, but they show up often in the waste management stream. So those are some other ones to look out for. And then, of course, this is more to do with you know, safety, but just watching out for batteries or any kind of objects that might cause a fire hazard, because those can actually cause the recycling facilities to have to stop their operations, and that in turn really affects the process.
I know in some Wisconsin communities, they'll take plastic bags if they're bundled up in a plastic bag and mixed with stuff. So that speaks to the check your local listings concept, right?
And I think, again, this is another part of the wake-up call, is how complex the recycling is and how little people tend to know about what can I recycle in my area, what are the rules in my area. The labels can look different between various places. People don't always know where to find the information. But, you know, as a general rule, it's really different in every single municipality in the United States. But as a general rule, if you go to your local municipality website and go to the sort of the waste management area, the recycling area, you will find that information. So it's important to check it out and to learn what the right thing to do where you live is.
Talking about recycling with Livia Albeck-Ripka. She's written about problems at both ends of the recycling story for the New York Times. And Livia, let's go to where the stuff goes. And this is changing. China is changing its policies on what they're going to take right from the United States.
Yes. Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, Americans recycle around 66 million tons of material a year. And about a third of that is exported. The majority of those exports were going to China, but then in the summer of last year, so about a year ago, China announced plans to ban foreign garbage from its shores as part of a broader anti-pollution campaign. And then since January 1st of this year, it's banned imports of various types of plastic and mixed paper. And so other countries have stepped in and are accepting more waste than they previously were. For example, Indonesia, Vietnam, Mexico. So there has been kind of a little bit of the slack picked up, but the United States has still been left with a lot of excess garbage. Well, I should not call it garbage, actually. And waste managers really stress this. You know, recycling is not trash. It's not garbage. It is material that is potentially valuable and was more valuable, and now it's a matter of working out what to do with that material and perhaps dealing with more of it domestically.
Yeah, the theory, as we put stuff in recycling, Livia, is that it goes somewhere, whether it's in the United States or abroad, and somebody goes through and harvests the materials and has a way to profitably use them in new stuff. Is that really mostly what's happening?
Well, I would say that in the cases where it is getting exported or when it was going to China, in theory, yes, those materials, for example, mixed paper, which, you know, is referred to as fiber, can be turned into new boxes. And that might not have been happening all the time, but it was an economically viable process. And so it's a matter of sort of stepping back and figuring out where to go from here.
And with this change from China now, are local recycling agencies having to change what they'll take with this decline in demand from China?
Yeah, so the West Coast of the United States was the most affected by this ban. They were really heavily reliant on the Chinese market. And so in some cases, in some municipalities along the coast there, and in a few other places around the U.S., waste managers have actually had to change their rules. For example, when it comes to yogurt cups, which is a particular type of, you know, thin plastic that is more challenging to reprocess and to turn into something new, those waste managers said, you know what, for the moment, we can no longer accept that material as recycling. And in that case, those materials which people had previously been putting into the recycling bin, they're asking them, no, now you've got to put them in the trash. And if they don't go into the trash, they're actually then contaminating the other recyclable materials. So it is a challenging switch for people to make and to learn about these new rules in their areas.
The hope, I think, for a lot of municipalities was that the recycling, their recycling services would be self-sustaining. They're paid for. They turn trash into treasure. Basically, they get paid for the materials, and that helps pay for recycling efforts. Has that panned out that way?
Well, I suppose that what we're seeing now with this ban from China is not really. And again, it's this kind of, it's a wake-up call for what we can do to make the recycling processes better domestically. And when I say domestically, as you can probably tell, I'm not from the US, I'm Australian. And likewise, we have the same problem in Australia and similarly in Europe. A lot of these Western countries were relying on a system that ultimately was not sustainable.
So bringing it back home, Livia, it sounds like it seems paradoxical. If we throw away the stuff that we think we can recycle but we can't, we're actually helping the recycling effort overall. Is that right?
I'm going to need you to repeat that question.
If I take that thing that I shouldn't put in the recycling, I throw it away instead, things are going to go more smoothly. Recycling is going to be more successful. Is that right?
Yeah. If you kind of take this, you know, if in doubt, throw it out mentality and just put in what you're absolutely certain can go in there, it is more likely that that the end product will find a market and a destination where in turn it will be actually recycled and turned into something new.
We'll leave it there. Livia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Livia Albeck-Ripka, freelance journalist covering the environment. She joins to talk about her work in the New York Times on recycling in the United States.